Well, well, welcome back to Uncommon Podcast. I am TJ.
I am Joshua.
And we are uncommon, just like you. So this podcast is going to be focusing on, we have two parts to it. It's introverts and extroverts.
Death cage match.
That's right. Get your tug of war rope out. No, it's introverts and extroverts. And so we're going to be talking about one on each podcast, and then at the end of it, in the bonus section, is going to be coming like, when we're talking about introverts, that bonus is going to be how an introvert could be an extrovert, and vice versa. So, if you're new to the show, welcome to the Uncommon Podcast. We've been running today, hit the ground running, and so it's nice to kind of to take a moment. I always enjoy when we do these. So if you've never listened to one of these before, we do these every other week. We have a new podcast that comes out around topics. Last month was around some life transitions, which are coming up. We just saw them recently. Prom season was about guys in tuxes and girls in shiny dresses. So so this one is going to be about communication, or at least about introverts and extroverts. So what's funny is that, so I'm 55. I think I'm my only child. So someone might be saying, oh, that's a tailor-made introvert. And then some people say, oh, man, every only child I know is an extrovert kind of thing. I think I have migrated over the years, and I can do both.
Yeah,
I can get real quiet. I'm cool with myself. And then there's times when I can step into it and lead a group kind of thing. So what would you say you are? I know you're 27, right? 27. And this is my son, so I shouldn't know his age. But
I don't know my age at the time.
How old am I again? What would you say you are?
I've battled with this over the years a little bit to figure out. I in high school and college, I would label myself much more introverted. I had a very difficult time speaking out in groups, especially if they were new groups kind of thing, introduce myself, that kind of stuff. Over the years, or more recently, I definitely tried to stretch myself in that area.
Sure.
And so I want to say I've leaned more into ambivert, which is kind of a flip-flop version of that. So you can be introvert sometimes and extrovert, which is probably what you're talking about for yourself. It's hard to say, though, because ambivert feels like a cop-out almost. Like kind of like I'm both,
I'm
you know,
both,
kind
right.
of thing. But it really just depends on kind of how you recharge, right?
Sure.
So introvert, you recharge when you're away from people. Extrovert people, you recharge when you're around a group of friends or group of people kind of, you know, talking and energizing off that and feeding off that, you know, communication. So I kind of – I feel like I've migrated from heavy introvert to ambivert. I can kind of balance those two. There are days where I'm like, hey, just leave me alone. I need some space. I need quiet. And then other days where I'm like, hey, I would like to interact with some humans today.
Right.
And I think that comes with a little maturity just over time.
Sure.
You know, what you're stressed to be kind of thing. Because it's easy to be introvert, I think, when you're younger, when there's not so much responsibilities on you. Because, like, you know, obviously the most interaction you probably have is with teachers and any other kids kind of thing. But once you push yourself to be like, well, I go, you know, I just had to call all the utilities companies today to get that set up with the new house and everything. I'm like, I don't want to do this. And, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it can change over time, too. And I think I just finished reading a book recently called Quiet, about introverts in the extroverted world kind of thing. And just a lot of historical figures that were introverted and kind of how they played a role in society and that kind of stuff. And one of them talked about how there's a limitation to it, but every introvert has kind of a rubber band effect of how far you can stretch yourself to be outside or introvert kind of zone.
Interesting.
To kind of be a faux extrovert if you're trying to be.
Sure.
There's a limitation to that for everybody, and everyone has it differently, but there is a limit. There is some areas you can stretch yourself, and so, you know, that can be kind of a comfort if you're like, man, I hate not being able to start a conversation or not being able to talk to people and make new friends. That is an area you can change and grow. And I've known people who've used I'm an introvert as almost a crutch sometimes. We're like, sure. Well, I can't do that. And so, you know, it depends on your viewpoint of that. It could be negative, positive, but, you know, one way or another, there is steps you can take, and we'll kind of go over that in today's podcast, a little bit of, you know, strengths and weaknesses and adjustments that can be made to kind of make that work for you and kind of where you can kind of lean in and grow as a human being.
I would say there's no introverts in traffic. When there are people that cut you off, instant extrovert. That's a new phrase. I just coined that, instant extrovert. I definitely think that some situations will help you grow into either of these camps. And I say camps, I don't mean like, you know, one's good or bad kind of thing. But if you are an introvert, certain situations, like for me, starting my own business, you'll go bankrupt and be homeless if you stay an introvert because you have to talk to people.
Right.
And so if you are an extrovert and you have a job and you have to actually listen to someone else say something, that may be something that pushes you to stop talking or stop, you know, being the focal point. And so I think it's good to have both of those because, you know, every situation changes. And, you know, Paul said, I'm all things to all men kind of thing, you know, I think maturity level. So there are strengths into both of these. We're going to talk about some of the pain points as well as the strengths. Like introverts, from a pain point, I think introverts often feel misunderstood in environments that favor them to be an extrovert. Like if you put someone who is an introvert in a group of people and they have to talk, they'd rather be in the casket rather than giving the eulogy, Jerry Seinfeld said, right? And so those situations, that person probably comes across a little bit as misunderstood.
Yeah. What can make them feel lonely too?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've known several friends over the years who are heavy introverts. And, you know, from their perspective, they're like, you know, man, I don't really have a whole lot of friends. Like, I don't feel like anyone reaches out to me kind of thing, or that kind of X, Y, and Z, fill in the blank for yourself. But I always remember having a conversation with them, be like, well, have you reached out to them? Or, you know, do you make an effort?
What?
Right. Do you make an effort on your part? Because, you know, there's, you know, something to be said that if you're wanting to grow as, you know, friends and environments that, you know, your comfort zone is very small, and you realize that as you grow, and you, you know, you need to be comfortable stepping outside your comfort zone. And
not everybody's good with that.
No. And it takes a lot of practice to get used to that. I mean, one of the things that I've done in the last like 2 years is really fill my head with a lot of conversational books to see what I can glean from that and feel. Because one of the things I felt as an introvert that I suffered from was like inadequacy when it came to talking.
Sure.
Like I just felt like I'm not smart enough to talk about anything, or I'm not smart enough to do this, or I don't have the skills to do X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, me being a book nerd, I was like, oh, well, I'll just go read a book about it. That way I have something to fall back on.
Sure.
And right or wrong, that has given me a safety net to grow as, you know, a person and conversationalist and that kind of thing. So there's some great tools out there, you know, maybe a book, maybe it's, you know, TED Talk or whatever kind of thing that you can use. But introversion to the extreme can definitely lead to like misunderstandings and isolation, which, you know, we talk about a lot on this podcast, is not a good thing as a Christian.
No. And I look at this right here a little bit like Fight Club. If it's your first time here at Fight Club, you're fighting. It's your first time as an introvert in a group setting, guess who's talking? You're talking. If everybody's got to just get quiet and look at you while you gather yourself and say something, you're going to have to work on that. Now, what I took some of those personality tests before I started my business, and you know, it's all kind. You know, are you a golden retriever? Are you a dinosaur? Are you a plant? You know, whatever. So I think I was, this was a color scale, and color scales were always like, you know, more emotionally kind of attuned kind of thing. Whereas, like, I don't know, orange was like more sales, and the green was like scientific, and I don't know, something like that.
And but, see, green is science. That's the confirmation. All I need to know that the binder for science is always green.
Always green. Well, I was, say, blue, and by the time I finished that period of my kind of business life, I had changed completely. Mm. Now, probably because I was never exposed to some things, some tools, and I was never pushed or encouraged. So let's dwell on that word for a little bit, encouraged to flex those and build those muscles. Mm. So I know when we started the business, well, if you don't talk to people, it doesn't work. Mm. And we were a digital marketing company. It's about communication. Mm. So if you're going to go into communication and you cannot communicate, that's going to be a problem. Right. So some unique qualities that come in with introverts is that they tend to excel in reflection and analysis. They can solve complex problems, kind of a deep insights to things. You know, like you see that still waters run deep.
Right.
That could be an introvert, and it could be that someone is like just really not, they're on drugs. You know, it could be like, are you awake over here? Mm-hmm. Get a mirror. So I think the thoughtful nature allows introverts to thoroughly consider all aspects of a situation. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, this sentence is giving a whole lot of like, you know, man, it's so awesome being so quiet. Right. There's no downside to that. And like you said, that comes with, both sides come with some pros and cons. And I think if you can embrace the strengths of being an introvert or extrovert, but still be willing to work on the other part of that, that'll make a great, what is it?
Ambivert.
It sounds like a dinosaur. So if you want to be a dinosaur, work on both of those.
Yeah. I think it's good to stretch yourself regardless, just because of, this is kind of the identity that a lot of people take this as an identity of like, well, I'm an introvert, so I don't mesh well with extroverts and vice versa kind of thing.
Right.
And in some cases, maybe you can question yourself to only be friends with introverts. But in the book that I read, couple of the examples they gave was like the husband was the extrovert and the wife was the introvert, and just the clashes that came along with that. Mm. The other example was the mom was an extrovert, but the daughter, who was like in her, you know, 9-10 year old kind of early age, she was an introvert. And so if nothing else, expanding your viewpoint of what the others can do and kind of how to interact and stretch yourself helps you build relationships with people that maybe you have a son or daughter who's the opposite of you, and you have to understand how their kind of brain works and how they express themselves, and it may not be the way you express yourself.
And now you know, moved into a little sidebar here for, and I'm talking to all the dads out here right now. So say you are an introvert or extrovert, and you have a child who is the opposite of you. Your job as a dad is to adapt to be able to communicate with your child. I don't care what they are in a sense of introvert or extrovert or in between. Your job is to communicate with them, encourage them, because they're not going to be sometimes mature enough to be able to convert over to what you. Right. This is like the languages of love, right?
Yeah.
Love language. So dads out there, how you are right now with your children is going to change over time. And you may have an introvert on your hands at age 9, but an extrovert at age, let's just say those teens, hormone-induced extrovert at age 16 or 17, and you have to communicate to them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it is good to grow in that way.
Yeah, and definitely. And then on the opposite side of that, as a husband, I know I've migrated more towards ambivert, probably leaning more towards extrovert recently, just because I'm wanting to, you know, grow my friendships and those relationships I have with a lot of people in our Bible studies. My wife is very heavily still an introvert, she's the queen of it. And so I have to balance the desire that I have, like, hey, let's go have out, you know, go have dinner with somebody, or let's go out and do something with a couple. And she's always like, I'm really exhausted having to deal with all these kids at my job every day, and I'm, you know, walking all, like, I need a break kind of thing. For me, I'm like, well, that is the break. We get to go have fun with friends. And she's like, that's not recharging for me.
Right.
And so, you know, as a parent, you're the requirement's different. But as a husband, you know, being very aware and keenly aware of how your spouse operates will help you kind of navigate that. I mean, it's always comes back to communication. You know, whether you're the introvert, extrovert, and vice versa, of how do they want to handle things and being open and honest about, you know, hey, I really just don't want to go have dinner with that couple tonight. I'm exhausted. I don't want to. Or, hey, let's go out of our comfort zone a little bit. Let's go out kind of thing and do something with some people. So there's a lot of give and take, but I do think it's interesting to see how this lens changes by being a single person, being a married person, and being a parent, and how each one of those requires a different view of how to either you need to adapt, adjust, or you know grow as a person.
Well, you have walked right up into our segment number two, navigating social settings as an introvert. So I know you got the cliff notes over here, but all right, before we move into segment two, I want to mention some great material if you're an introvert. We got you. The membership, the Uncommon membership, is for the individual. Say you do not want to do anything with groups. That's exactly what the membership is for. It's for the individual who either doesn't want a group setting, lives too far from a group setting, or doesn't have one yet. Bam, memberships. We have monthly, annual, and lifetime. You can get your groove on as an introvert with all of our content. So check it out at uncommon.org and stay tuned for our awesome sponsors. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Wilson Technology Group. At Wilson Technology Group, we're not just an IT vendor. We're your trusted business partner delivering exceptional support, innovative solutions, and peace of mind. One call, one team, all your tech issues resolved. Okay, welcome to segment two. Joshua kind of introduced this. He kind of spilled the candy in the lobby, as they say. Navigating social settings as an introvert. Mm-hmm. And so you had talked about that. And what's odd is that your wife is a twin, mm-hmm. to add another layer of complexity of I'm unable to stand out on my own sometimes.
Right.
And so mom was, so she's hearing impaired, my wife. She was two very powerful behind-the-ear hearing aids. And you would think that would make her an introvert in the sense of she doesn't hear everything in the conversation. If you're standing behind her, no amount of battery power is going to help with that. Mm. So there's probably been some things that she's missed over the decades.
Right.
And so, but I think you would think mom is more of an extrovert, mm-hmm. when it comes to family and friends and just, I mean, yeah. So it's just the opposite sometimes. And so many times introverts may experience some social anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, that not just due to their personality, but because of kind of the pressures of being outgoing, right? Mm. And so a pain point might be struggling with the expectations of being socially active can make an extrovert or an introvert feel exhausted.
Yeah. It's intriguing to view this from a battery standpoint, just because so many people look at, feeding that meter a little bit, and introverts trying to talk. And, you know, every time there's examples, every time a person shows up to have to talk in the group or they have to talk to, that, you know, triples the amount of energy it takes. And then, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so it's hard because it's so easy to backtrack, like, well, I'm an introvert, I don't want to do this kind of thing. And the pressure is that you're like, well, your expectation is to talk. But I think the follow-up danger of that is to let that always be the case. Mm. And I know a friend right now who is struggling to make some deep connections in the group that he's been going to for six months to a year.
Sure.
And sometimes it's hard to get out of your own head when it comes to making those friendships and finding those commonalities, just because you're like, well, all the extroverts are in the, I'm just let them have a conversation. I'll just smile and nod and, you know, what'd you do? That was great. What did you do? And then that's your, you know, your 2 cents for the month kind of thing. So it's good to find someone who understands that it's a give and take as a friendship, because there's the running joke about it. An extrovert always adopts an introvert and drags them along to places. They're like, you're my token introvert friend. I'm taking you out to party.
Right.
And so understanding that those friendships, you know, both sides understand it. One, the extrovert understands the introvert only has so much battery life, like a phone. And the introvert understands the extrovert's trying to help them in the sense of making friends and going out and experiencing the world. Because, you know, while we can experience a lot from our phones and books and all of that in our house, you know,
it ain't real life.
It ain't real life. And, you know, we are called to go out into our neighborhoods, our communities, our church, all that kind of stuff. So
the Great Commission was to go. It wasn't say send emails.
Right. Exactly.
Right. So how are you going to tell someone about Christ if you cannot speak to people? And so we'll just kind of leave that little challenge on the side right there for a second. So one of the things that, and your wife may do this, and I'm trying to think of, is a few, I guess we'll just call them introverts in our family, that they won't speak if you don't ask them questions. It's like an interrogation room kind of thing. But to schedule recovery time. So introverts can manage their energy by kind of planning some downtime before, and this sounds so strange, before and after social gatherings. They're like, okay, I got to take a nap to get ready for that. I'm meeting with TJ, and he's just going to start talking. And then when they go home, they're like, oh, my God, that guy just talks all the time. Just, oh, I need a nap before and after a TJ session. But I find that if you do that more often, I think the less recovery time you would need, right? And because we all know one, that you get into a group and they hold court and you're like, oh my goodness, this guy.
Who gave him the talking stick?
Does he get paid by the word? I mean, and if it's me, don't tell me, just hush your face. But so I was in our small group and I walked up and I know everybody in the group. I'm closer to some, you know, than others. There's some that we get together for dinner often as couples, and some I haven't had a chance to do that with. But I walk up to some that were kind of new, and I'm standing next to them. And usually in that situation, as an extrovert, I would say, so how's work going, kind of thing. Just a strike of conversation, right? But I wanted to see how that would work if I did not initiate the conversation. So I waited 2 minutes. And for an extrovert, that 2 minute could be a lifetime. It's like, are we really going to sit here in total silence? Are we in a library? What's going on? So we waited a little bit. A lot of staring down at our feet, taking a sip of water, looking around the room, trying to make eye contact. Finally, I said, asked the guy, he had something, a surgery. I said, so how's your arm doing, kind of thing? And then all of a sudden, I must have turned over this bucket of water, because out spilled all these details about his surgery. He was just waiting for someone to ask a question. And so you could see that even though that person, probably not an introvert, you got some introvert qualities there. He doesn't know how to start a conversation.
Right.
And so I think everybody needs to work on their communication skills. Two of the most popular prayers I say every day is wisdom and the ability to communicate effectively.
Yeah.
So our next one is effective communication. Well, establishing and communicating boundaries, too. It's important for introverts to define what they're comfortable with in social settings. Like, you don't want to just go on there and say, all right, I'm going to try to talk to this group. I'm going to bring up politics. How's that? You don't want to do that. So having some boundaries are great. Even using some written communication. You don't want to say cards.
Right.
But often introverts find it easier to express themselves in writing. So they may find that maybe an email or a text might be a way to start to work on, how do I start a conversation with someone even though I'm not in their presence?
Sure.
And so practicing clear, concise statements. This is strange to talk about as if we're like in grade school, but sometimes adults, we need to sharpen our communication skills and work on how we speak.
Yeah.
So,
I would say there's also the kind of flip side of boundaries where, you know, there's areas you want to, but setting goals for yourself, just like, hey, I'm at least going to communicate to these two people at this gathering.
Sure.
I want to seek them out, start a conversation of at least 5 minutes,
yeah,
and then go find the next person. Something like that. Because, you know, the thing that I've learned over the years is if you are not looking at the improvements you're making upon yourself over time, mm-hmm, you're going to get very disappointed. But you're like, man, I'm not standing in front of 1,000 people giving my TED Talk next week like I planned on. And, you know, as you grow, it's usually very small changes over time.
Sure, yeah.
But I guarantee that if you look at those goals that you set, realistic goals that you can hit, it'll make you feel much more empowered to keep stretching yourself and keep growing and building those relationships in ways that, you know, you're comfortable with. But you're stretching yourself as a human being and rounding yourself off as a person.
I'm going to give those introverts a little hack. If you are in a group setting, you know you can be in a group setting, and you're going to try to communicate with someone, go get a cup of water. Only put about an inch of water in it. Bring it over, start talking to someone. If things are going sideways, take a sip of that water, finish it off, then you can use that as a reason to step away. Go wipe your towel, your head off with sweat, kind of gather yourself kind of thing. But those are some hacks, mm-hmm, that may help, you know, try to communicate and then take a step back. And then, so I think now we need some scripture.
Mm.
So we're looking at Matthew 14. Let's see, hold on a second. I'm sorry, we had one in the first segment. Was Luke 5:16.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
5:16. But he would withdraw to isolate or desolate places to pray. And that's referring to Jesus removing himself to,
right,
pray by himself in isolation.
Right. We see that often in times where he would isolate himself, mm, or get away from people to spend some time alone with the Father,
yeah,
in prayer and probably just some healing time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is Matthew 14:23.
And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went upon the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone.
So you can see that, I mean, I think Jesus probably had the ability to do all communication, right? But I think it's important that it's in Scripture and it's mentioned for our benefit.
Sure.
Right? Written for us, not about us.
Mm.
To see that, okay, he would be speaking with people, crowds, individuals, groups, that kind of thing, but also would isolate himself or at least go off on his own to pray, contemplate, rest, mm, in both sides of that. So I think it's important for us to do that. So another resource for the introvert. You do not want to be around people. Obviously, the first we mentioned was our membership, but our newsletter. So we send out a newsletter every Saturday, 12 Eastern. It's a great way to get some tips and resources about the ministry. We deliver an article or a resource every week along with focusing on a sponsor or a partner, like a devotion, an original, that type of thing. So if you have not signed up for the newsletter, please do so, because that is a great way to, I don't know, just work on some of this from a communication standpoint, because we have a ton of content around communication.
Definitely.
So
I mean, we've found over the years that that is the often most prayed about thing and the biggest thing that we all struggle with, because for some of us, we may have not had a good example of what communication could be, or, you know, we've thought, oh, I got this communication thing down, and realized that we are yelling at a wall
kind sure.
of situation. So I think it's in our Bible study last night, we were doing, he was referring to marriage, but I think this is also holds true for communication, that if you're not moving forward with it and working on it, there is no neutral. It's in reverse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
we used to do our podcasts every week and recording them. And just from a schedule standpoint, we had to back it off to every other week. Right now we shoot both podcasts at once a month, an hour a piece. And it does take a little bit of time to get back in the groove if you only do that once a month.
Yeah.
Now, we're in meetings constantly, people, so we don't have that.
I talk enough words.
I haven't spoken to anybody in a month and a half. Lucky me. So, but it's important, I think, to have some resources, whether it's with Uncommon or someone else. Yeah. There's a bunch of great books out there like Quiet. And so find something that speaks to you, and let's work on that. So as we move into our final segment, be sure to check out some great sponsors that we have communicated to. Uncommon would like to thank today's sponsor, Studio 490 Digital Marketing. Elevate your business with Studio 490. Our expert team offers tailor web design, SEO, Google Ads, and social media management. Visit studio490.com because your success story starts today. All right, welcome back to our final segment of Introverts versus Extroverts. This one is building deep connections. Now, you mentioned that in your small group. How large would you say your small church, your small group is?
Well, last night we had a lighter night, and we had, about 14, 15 people there. On a packed night, I think last time we did a count, because we were joking about this as a group, about counting everybody, I think it was in the 40s of people. Now
that's like a small church.
It's basically a small church. Now, thankfully, not everyone shows up at once, because I don't think any one of our houses could have us. We'd be bursting at the seams. But it's a lot of people, and I think, for an introvert, that can be almost seem daunting. Like, it's just too many people, too many conversations, too many friendships to maintain, and that kind of thing. And I think that can be a real big hindrance for some people. Now, in one of the examples, that book that was given, I was reading, talked about how introverts do much better at one-on-one communication.
Sure.
And the more people is the more difficult kind of thing. And so what I've found over the years is, in a group setting, starting that way is fine, but often trying to find, one person to kind of I'm going to spend the next 20 minutes just talking to you, just, doing life, how's everything going, checking up kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that way, that builds that deeper relationship than just a surface level group setting of, hey, how's it going, everybody, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And I think that is a good kind of in-between of, I'm in a group setting, I'm around a lot of people, but I'm having an in-depth one-on-one conversation with an individual. So it kind of is both sides of that coin.
Yeah, our small group's about the same thing, about that 30 to 35 range. And but I have several close guy friends that I don't, it's individual stuff. Like, it's maybe a couple here and there at a time. And so some we kind of chat via text, like Lou and Jerry. Lou's in Iowa. I sound like a radio guy now. Jerry's in California. And then we have some guys local, Rob and Tom and George. And so, but I find it great to have a range of people who are close to me, people that we do in couples, we do it in group, people that are at a distance. Some are just by text, some are just by phone, some are by Zoom. I think it's a great way to be able to communicate in many different ways. That way, when you meet someone who, their style is this, great, I can speak Mandarin, let's go, yeah, kind of thing. So introverts often form a deep and meaningful relationship. They want quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. I would much rather have, as they say, four quarters than 100 pennies. Yeah. I want a handful of close friends rather than, I could care less if my Facebook friend count is whatever it is. I don't even know. But, you know, some people, when it first came out, they're like, you know, oh, man, I got 1,200 people. Do you know any of them? No. So introverts, quality over quantity.
Yeah.
And I think even some advice from extroverts, I think you want that too.
Yeah, I think it's important to build those friendships, because I think what I've seen over the years from the extrovert side of things, from my friends who were extroverts, they had a lot of friends that they would kind of like just kind of touch base with every once in a while, but they would not do life with you kind of thing. Like, yeah. There was a guy that I was friends with that was the epitome of an extrovert. Dude was going out every night to, you know, restaurants with friends. He'd go downtown a lot. He'd go to uptown or whatever. And great guy. Love him a lot. But he's not a close friend to me. And he may feel that way to all the friends that he has, too, that he's
acquaintances.
Yeah, he's just a more of acquaintance thing. So, you know, that's definitely something I think that comes more naturally to introverts, because we want to be a little more choosy about who we spend time with, because that's a select battery time to talk to people. Hmm. While extroverts are like, well, I want to get as many people as possible so I can recharge my battery, and they suffer when it comes to one-on-one things. So that's definitely a pro that I think introverts can showcase to extroverts, and vice versa. So it's, I never viewed that so much growing up until I got to that college age, I think, because that's really when you're not forced to be around people. Like, all through high school and younger, it's kind of like, this is the joke about, you know, company friends, where it's like, I'm just friends with you because my cubicle's next to yours.
Right.
You know, and the same thing. I'm only friends with you because your desk is next to mine in school.
Or you live next door.
Right.
Sometimes that's just that.
Yeah. So when college hit and I realized that introvert extroversion plays quite a heavy role in someone's personality type and how they communicate, and that I can't view all the excitement that comes with someone who's an extrovert, who's like a bound of energy, as, oh man, it's going to be a really deep friendship kind of thing. It's like, yeah, it's a friendship. I mean, probably not as deep as I want it to be. And that's fine.
Right, right. And that's when my realist side and my introvert do that Wonder Twin Power activation kind of thing. I get real choosy about, like, I really don't have any desire to be this person's friend, you know. And which is odd, you know. You're called to love everybody to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. But there are people that obviously you just don't have a connection with. True. And it's not like a bad thing, but it's just not a connection. And so cultivating friendships. So introverts cultivate friendships by deepening connections through one-on-ones, which we said. Mm-hmm. They prefer quality over quantity. And then the role in the family and church, introverts can often act as thoughtful listeners and advisors, providing insight, guidance, and support that strengthen relational and spiritual bonds. So there's probably someone in your family, I hope, that you can think of and say, that person doesn't talk a lot, but when I need something important, it's a serious situation, I know I can go to them and they'll listen.
Yeah.
And then maybe ask to give me some advice, or sometimes just listen. And so you can see the benefits of an introvert is a much needed one in that circle of communication. And I imagine that we're all on this curve of moving maybe back and forth possibly. But when you run across someone who is like ensconced in either one, I mean, it's unmistakable.
Sure.
And I think it's very difficult to get them out of that. They have to be willing to kind of grow there. And I do think it's a sign of maturity. We have to say flexibility is a sign of maturity, that, you know, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I acted like a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so I think it takes some maturity. Now, I'm not just saying, oh, I'll be better at communication when I get in my 30s and my 40s and 50s. No, you won't. If you're not going to work on it, then you won't be better at your communication, whether you're introvert or extrovert. So,
yeah, there's been a lot of studies done, and I think mostly in the workplace as an example, because they obviously are always trying to find the best combination of leadership to make the best, you know, productivity. But they were doing some studies a while back about how a team of all introverts would perform versus one of all leader or all extroverts, and then also one of a combo of each. And what was interesting to see that both all introverts and all extroverts suffered greatly, because the introverts could not have someone take lead.
Sure.
And all the extroverts wouldn't listen to each other because they all wanted to be, well, I know the best idea. And then the combo, the introverts were listening to everyone and kind of like thinking on the best strategy and then presenting that. And that's when the extroverts would take that and run. Mm-hmm. And so you can see this is definitely a yin and yang situation that, you know, when you're all in one camp, it becomes a problem. And if you don't have, if you only hang out with other introverts, is it, you know, or even if you're either side of that, all extroverts or all introverts, you're only going to hear that echo chamber of, man, just so hard to talk, or man, I can't find any deep relationships. So making sure that the people you surround yourself with, you challenge you in those areas that you need to be challenged in, is very, very important.
Sure. Just like being quiet, not necessarily lead to wisdom. Mm. Being talkative or loud doesn't make you a leader.
Yeah.
I know some chatty Cathys out there that, whoo, it's like, my goodness. It's just nothing. Just, you know, noise. So,
was that Michael Scott joke about even when I start the sentence, I don't know where it's going?
Yeah, I don't even know where it's going until I get there. Hey, look, a period. All right, so let's mention our devotions. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a place of resource for introverts. That is a ton of content around communication. Mm-hmm. And so visit uncommon.org. And so when I was doing this, I wanted to make sure we left a little time for the bonus round.
Bonus round.
We don't have any music to go like, you know, bonus round music, but so.
Note to self, future me, put music here.
Right, exactly. So this is how introverts can adopt extrovert traits. Mm. So there's three. One, step out of your comfort zone gradually. Mm. Begin by taking small, manageable steps to encourage or to engage more in social settings. Mm. Now, I understand half of the introverts just passed out right now, so you want to hopefully you hit pause on your way down. But when you come to, this could be initiating conversations, attending social gatherings, participating in public speaking workshops. Mm. And that's for the deep end of the pool right there.
Yeah.
That is, I have some friends that did Toastmasters. Toastmasters, I guess, train you how to get up and speak, and I don't give toasts and present and that kind of thing.
My brain was going, I thought it was a cooking thing, making toast. I'm like, you suck so much at cooking. We got to stir a toast and work our way out.
There's Toastmasters, there's Cereal Masters, there's Grit Masters, all kind of masters. No, so that is the deep end of the pool. I think even for some extroverts, mm-hmm. like I have zero interest in being in front of like 500 people mm-hmm. yammering about something, but getting in a group, 10, 20 people kind of thing, I have no problem with that, you know? So that's number one. Number two, set social goals. So introverts can set specific, achievable goals, such as attending one new event per month. Yeah. That sometimes seems insurmountable, but of speaking up at like a meeting, like a group setting, your small group, even at work meetings. I guarantee you, if your manager is a good manager, he or she notices that you did not take part in this process.
Sure.
And it's reflecting something in your career. Mm-hmm. It's like, why would I promote you if you can't even speak in a meeting? Your head's down, like you're on an iPhone, whatever kind of thing. So these goals encourage gradual increases in social activity without overwhelming an introvert. And the third one is practice expressive communication. Mm. So work on being more open and expressive about your thoughts and feelings. You know, just because you have a thought or a feeling doesn't mean you can't share it. You might say, you know, I'm struggling with my job. I'm struggling in my marriage or whatever. You know, you can practice through activities like joining a small group, even sports. Even the hardest introvert that looks like they're asleep in a room, you get in there and you just say something like, you know, man, how about that draft? And you watch any of the draft? Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, boom, you start kind of a conversation. Now, eventually you do have to maybe move on past sports, but it does get people talking. So I think those are some ways an introvert could really move into honing some of their extrovert type skills, because you have them, you just don't use them.
Definitely. I this is the same way I feel about creativity. Like, everyone's creative. It's just different levels, and it's whether you nurture that side of yourself.
Exactly.
If you're going to sit in your room and, you know, just read books and, you know, watch TV all day, then you're not going to grow in your extrovert skills. Now, is everyone going to be able to get to the point where they're in front of 1,000 people giving a speech? Probably not.
No.
And that's not where you want to be. Realistically, you need to look in the mirror and say, where do I... what parts of me do I want to work on and change? Because once you identify, like, hey, I really want to get better at talking in group settings.
Sure.
There's your starting point. All you can go is up from there.
Right.
Whether it's books, podcasts, movies, whatever you need to do to get and stretch that ability to then use in those circumstances, you go and get better. I think the funniest thing that I read in that book was talking about the writer of the book went to a workshop to work on public speaking because she sucked at public speaking.
Right.
And she gives talks like every like week. She was like doing talks in front of people. She was terrified of it. That this room full of people, like 20 people, all trying to get better at public speaking. They'd get in front of them. They'd give a little speech or whatever. And then after they get the speech, the person running it would be like, all right, great. So does anyone think they were like really terrified, or do you think they did a poor job? And everyone's like, no, I think they did great. I couldn't tell they were terrified. And then they would turn to the speaker and be like, so how'd you feel the entire time? Like, I was out of my mind and afraid of everyone here.
I blacked out most of what I said.
Right. And so I think we put a lot of effort and focus on how other people see us through lens. And I just think people don't pay attention to that level that we think they do.
Well, I think social media, you know, you kind of, someone gives a speech at an award banquet or a conference or whatever. Every keyboard aficionado gives their opinion about, you know, I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they did this. They wore this. At the end of the day, 24 hours later, no one cares about that or the comment that person put in there.
Sure.
And so, I think part of both sides of this is developing some self-confidence, some self-esteem, that are you going to always say things correctly? No.
No.
That's why you got to work on it.
Yeah.
And so I hope that we have encouraged, informed, and challenged our introverts in this segment or this podcast, because our next one is going to be focused on all those loudmouth, no, just kidding, all those extroverts out there who are just clamoring to take part in the podcast.
Coming for you, extroverts. You're next. Yeah,
you're next, extroverts, so buckle up. All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us today. We always love doing these type things. Hopefully you guys like it too. I would challenge everybody that made it this far. If you made it this far, even past the bonus round, give yourself a round of applause. But make a comment. Tell us if you're an introvert or extrovert, and what are you doing to help yourself in your situation right now. So, Joshua, hit him with the exit.
If you're going to be something, you better be uncommon.
Amen.